I want to read to you from the book of Ephesians. You have a scripture reading there in front of you. Book of Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power." Everybody say power. Now I've got there in bold brackets the Greek word dunamis, because that's what power, that's what the word power comes from, the Greek dunamis. The power that worketh in us. Say it's according to the power in us.
According to the power in us.
Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I want to read the next passage to you, and then we'll pray and let you be seated. Revelation 3:7 says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write," and I've skipped some there, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength." Now you'll notice after the word strength there that I have again in brackets dunamis. That's because in the original Greek it's the exact same word. In other words, he is saying you have a little power. You have a little power. "And have kept my word and hast not denied my name." Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Verse 11, "Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out." Verse 13, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Usually when we have Wednesday night Bible study, it's usually teaching, training, Bible study, that sort of thing. And usually when God gives me a brand new word, it's for the Sunday once a week crowd. But I say that because God has this message for somebody specifically here tonight. I want to preach to you and maybe do some teaching along the way on the subject, keep what you have.
Yes.
And he'll keep you.
Amen.
Keep what you have and he'll keep you.
Jesus.
Precious Jesus, again, we thank you for your power and grace and presence tonight. We ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts from your word and help our hearts and our minds to be open to receive your word. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Why don't you shake hands with one more person before you're seated? And God bless you as you are seated. That word, that Greek word, dunamis, it means strength, it means power, it means ability. As you've already seen in your Bible, that the King James translators were not always consistent in translating a word the same way. And that's because they shouldn't have been. The meaning of a word often depends on its context and how it's used and those sorts of things. But it was used in two different places here. It was used once and translated power in Ephesians 3 and 20, and it was used again in Revelation by the writer of Revelation, and it was used in verse 8 where it was translated strength. It means strength, power, ability. It's the word that we get dynamite from. Dunamis, dunamis. It specifically means miraculous or supernatural power. As a matter of fact, if you study it all the way through the New Testament, and I have, you'll find that it is often translated as mighty works. When the Bible says Jesus did mighty works in a certain place, what it really says is Jesus did dunamis in a certain place. Or when it says in one place Jesus could not do mighty works, it says Jesus could not do dunamis in that place because of their unbelief. It is also the word that is translated virtue. Now, the reason that that's interesting is because our scripture reading, Mark 5 and 30 in your handout there says, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" So when the woman that had the issue of blood pressed through the crowd, what that says, the King James translators chose to translate dunamis here as virtue. But it could have just as easily have been translated to say that when Jesus knew, or knowing in himself, that power was gone out of him. In other words, he felt miraculous healing power flow from his body to touch the lady that had the issue of blood. Luke 6 and 19 says, "And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue," or dunamis, or power, "out of him and healed them all." This tells us that Jesus could literally feel or sense whenever power or dunamis, miraculous healing, saving power, left his body. Praise God. He promised this same power. He promised this same dunamis to his disciples. In Luke 10 and 19, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Luke 24:49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with dunamis," or power, "from on high." Acts 1 and 8, "But ye shall receive dunamis," or power, "after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Praise God. How many of you know today that you need the Holy Ghost to have power? He didn't say you'll get the power beforehand, but he said you need the Holy Ghost to have this power. As a matter of fact, in your Bible, the kingdom of God and power is inseparable from the Holy Ghost. I don't have this particular scripture there, but the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is what? It is righteousness, peace, and joy in what? In the Holy Ghost. But 1 Corinthians 4 and 20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power," or dunamis. In other words, there is no way that you can separate the power of God from the Spirit of God that lives within us as the Holy Ghost. Amen. 2 Timothy 1, 7, Paul told Timothy, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of dunamis," of power, "and of love, and of a sound mind." And I want somebody to know here tonight that it is a lie from Satan that you do not have that dunamis, that Holy Ghost power living within you if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But somewhere deep inside of you, that power is residing there if we'll loose it and let it go. Hallelujah. God has not given us the spirit of fear. This is the spirit that God has given us. It is a spirit of dunamis power. But Paul warned Timothy that in the last days there would be a shortage of this Holy Ghost power. He said in 2 Timothy 3, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the dunamis, denying the power thereof, from such turn away." There are some that are telling us in this last day that the Holy Ghost does not fall like it once did, that people don't get that power like they once did. But Paul said, listen, in the last days they're going to have a form or a semblance of godliness. But he said they're going to deny the power. But he wants us to know today that God's power is as real in 2013 as it has ever been. "For of this sort are such. He said, from such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses. I've always said, I believe this is a prophecy of television evangelists. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. How else are they going to creep into houses? TV evangelists and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He said they'll have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. Now in Matthew 25, and I'm headed somewhere with all this, so just bear with me a few minutes while I lay this foundation. In Matthew 25 and 14, Jesus told a parable. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. And you might not have known it, but that word ability is, guess what? Dunamis. In other words, it could be said that he gave to every man according to his own power. Just as Paul said in our beginning text, he said that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Here he said he gave to every man talents or resources according to his power. And straightway he took his journey. That word ability is dunamis or power. The master gave them talents or resources according to the power that they already had. Can you say amen? Now some of you have heard me teach on the parable of the talents before, but some of you have not. And so let me share just a little bit with you. There are people that often teach on this parable, and they say that, as a matter of fact, I heard it when I was a kid in Sunday school. They used to say, well, what this means is if you got a talent and if you use it for God, God will give you more talents. That ain't what he was talking about. What he said is he gave them money or resources based on the power that they already had. And he didn't promise them any additional power. He wasn't worried about the power that they already had. He didn't say, it's a problem that this man has got great power, and this man has got some power, and this man has got a little power. He didn't say that that was a problem. He said, I don't really care right now what kind of power you got. I'm just giving you resources according to the power that I know that you have. And whatever I give you, you need to understand that you have sufficient power to take care of it. Whatever your state is right now, I'm giving you some resources. I'm entrusting you with those, but you've got enough power to work your way through it. He expected them to maximize their return on his investment with the power that they already had. I preached a message one time years ago called When You Don't Know What to Do, Do What You Know to Do. Amen. In other words, we get so hung up so many times on trying to find some mystical level with God. And this is where I'm going right now. Sometimes God wants us to just learn how to be faithful. We get so hung up on trying to find some new and fresh anointing and new and fresh endowment with power. And God says, you're not even using what you've already got. If you use what you've already got, you'll be able to work miracles. You'll be able to see the city turned upside down. You'll become a witness. You'll be able to see lives changed and lives transformed. You see, our problem in Pentecost, listen to me, folks. I searched in vain. And I know I got to take a drink of water because I'm about to shake up somebody's theology here right now. In Pentecost, we emphasize so much on getting more power. We talk about we need more power. We need this. We need that. We don't have enough. That's a lie from the devil. Because as I began to study this, Brother Cumby, this is one thing I found that was interesting to me. Hard as I searched, I couldn't find anywhere in the Bible, in the New Testament, anywhere where the Bible ever said that God gave anybody more power after they got the Holy Ghost. Now, yes, the Bible says that some were full of power. And some had this much power. And some had that much power. And some had this much power. And the one down here might say, well, why don't I have as much as this person up here? And God says, because I'm God and that's how I choose to do it. But whatever I tell you to do, I gave you enough power to do it. Whatever I call you to do, I gave you enough power to do it. And instead of us sitting around and saying, Lord, give me more power, Lord, give me more power, Lord, give me more power, God is saying to us tonight, get up off of your seat and get out there and work with what I already gave you, because I gave you enough the day that I filled you with the Holy Ghost. God is saying to us, don't ask me for more power. Work with what I gave you. He didn't, you know, that last man in the parable of the talents could have said, well, Lord, you only gave me one talent. And the Lord said, that's right. I gave it to you according to your dunamis, according to your power. And that man could have said, well, that's not fair. Give me more. But the Lord would have said, don't worry about that. I'm the master. I decide who has the ability. I decide who has the power. What I want you to do is concentrate on that one talent that I gave you. I want you to concentrate on working with what I gave you. Don't beg me for more power. What I want you to do is beg me to give you direction so that you do what I called you to do. Ask me for wisdom so that you'll know what I want you to do. But don't ask me for more power. What I'm trying to say to us today, folks, and this is the thing. This is, I'm going to tell you the truth. Hallelujah. I get, when you're trying to build a church, a new church, and Sister Manna knows what I'm talking about. There are days after days and weeks and months and sometimes of discouragement. But the Lord spoke to me. Maybe this is for me. If it's not for anybody else, I don't know. But he spoke to me tonight. And he said, instead of, while we were singing, while we were worshiping, and he said, instead of asking me for more power for the praise and worship service, for more worshipers, more people in the prayer room, he said, you've got enough inside of you. You've got enough inside of you if you'll turn it loose. Hallelujah. He said, I gave you enough. Somebody said, well, I'm the only one in the prayer room. Don't you worry about that, God said. He said, you've got enough. Somebody said, I'm the only one clapping my hands. He said, it doesn't matter. You've got enough. And I'm the only one praying in the altar. He said, it doesn't matter. You've got enough. If you'll let go of what I've given you, you've got enough. Hallelujah. When you find yourself praying with somebody in the altar and you say, I wish we had more hands to pray around the altar. God says, you've got enough power to pray on fruit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You've got two hands and that's enough to clap. You've got two arms and that's enough to raise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can focus. The devil wants us to focus on trying to get more, more, more power. God says, you've got enough. Use it. Revelation 3, back to our scripture text, the second passage I read. It says, and the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write to the angel of the church, I know thy works, because I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little dunamis, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name. And I have often wondered about this passage for years. I did not know that that word strength was dunamis until God began to deal with me this week about it. I did not know that he was saying, you have a little power. I had no idea what he was talking about. And I used to think that sounds like a cut down. That sounds like a put down. God is telling the church in Philadelphia, you've just got a little power. We all want to be thought of as having great power, don't we? I can't imagine a church that would consider that a compliment. Well, you got a little power. Matter of fact, if somebody posted that on Facebook, I'd be offended. You got a little power. But yet, I don't think that God meant it at all as an insult. He said, you have kept my word and have not denied my name. It's not intended as an insult, but it's intended as an encouragement. Because he said, you may only have a little power at the moment, but hold on to what you have. You may only feel like you have a little power, but God says, let's focus on the positives. You've kept my word. You haven't denied my name. And I'm preaching to somebody here tonight that may feel like you have a little power. And maybe you do have a little power. But God says to you tonight, you've kept my word. You have not denied my name. And so God says, I've got a reward set aside for you. He said, because you've kept the word of my patience, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation. In other words, you hold on to what you have, and I'm going to keep you. It may just be a little bit right now, but God says, I'm going to keep you. Listen, the devil would have you believe tonight that it's how much power you have that matters. God is more interested in what you do with what you already have. Like we said in the parable of the talents, he said, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say to us as a church tonight is, don't let the devil put down your power. Don't let the devil ridicule your power. You need to say, devil, I might just have a little power tonight, but I'm holding on to what I got. I might just have a little power tonight, but I'm going to keep what he has committed to me. I'm not going to deny his name. I'm going to keep his word. I'm going to keep on keeping on with what I have. And I know that God is going to carry me through this. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. I know it's strange. You probably never in your life heard a preacher preach, don't ask for more power. Have you? That just seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? It seems the opposite of what we've always been taught. But find for me one place in your Bible where a man was ever given or even asked for more power. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. But I tell you what God does want to do for us tonight. He wants to give us a renewing and a refreshing. It's like, you know, sometimes our power, we've got the power, but sometimes it gets dirty, like a glass, like a vessel. And sometimes it needs to be dusted off. And sometimes it needs to be cleaned up. And sometimes it needs to be shined up. And sometimes it needs to be polished up. And so while God does not need to give us more power, he says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. What I'm wanting somebody to hear me say tonight, and hear what the word of the Lord is saying to you tonight, is that when you pray this week and next week and from here on out, I want you to get up every day and I want you to say, Lord, I may not feel like a whole lot today. I may not feel like somebody that can have an impact on those that are around me. I don't really feel very spiritual right now. I don't really feel like I've got an awful lot of power right now. I don't really feel like things are just snapping and cracking and popping in my spiritual world right now. But Lord, if you renew what I already have, you promised in your word, hallelujah, that you'd give me enough power to make it through whatever I'm going to face today. And it doesn't matter who I run into. It doesn't matter what kind of witnessing opportunity I face. It doesn't matter what challenge lies before me. I can step out into
the world with this assurance that I've got enough power to make it through this day. That there's not one thing that Satan can throw against me that I cannot handle through the power of the Holy Ghost. You've got it inside of you right now. I said you've got it inside of you right now. It's time just to stir up the gift and say, God, I want you to shake it up inside of me. It's already there. Somebody needs to stir it up. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to say, stir up the gift in me. Stir up the gift in me. Stir up the gift in me. I want you to know I'm tired of blaming other people. I'm tired of pointing the finger at somebody else. It's time to stir up the gift in Mike Crocker. It's time to stir up the gift in New Start Church. It's time to stir up the Holy Ghost. The power's already there. He gave it to you the day he filled you. He's just saying, wake up. Wake up, church. Wake up and use what you've already got. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him right now. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the power awakening. Amen. Amen. God's not giving you more power tonight. What he's doing is waking up what's already there. He's shaking up some things. He's breaking up the fallow ground. He's stirring up the gift. Hallelujah. 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 Well, come on, let's praise him right now. Let's praise him right now. Somebody needs to say, I claim it in Jesus' name. I claim it in Jesus' name. Go ahead and let the devil know, say, I've got the power. Let the devil know, say, I've always had the power. Since the day that God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I've always had the power. Hallelujah. Whatever God wants me to do, he's going to enable me to do it through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Instead of the devil telling you that you have no power or that you need more power, I say it's time for him to fear what you have. Phaedra, it's time for Satan to fear you and what you have down inside there that has always been there from the day that God filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Cumby, it's always been there since the day that he filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I want the devil to fear us tonight. He knows that it's a secret, that if we unlock that secret and we stop praying and begging and pleading with God to give us more power, but start saying, Lord, show me where you want me to go next. Show me who you want me to talk to next. Show me what you want me to do next. Because I can go with the confidence that I've got the power that I need. Hallelujah. When I go into the store, I've got the power. When I go to school, I've got the power. Hallelujah. When I go shopping, I've got the power. When I go to college, I've got the power. Oh, I'm not perfect, but I've got the power.
Hallelujah. 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 Ephesians 4:22, and I just want to read this passage real quick and then close. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what we need, folks. We don't need more power. We need a renewing in our minds. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then I love this. Because see, this is where, Brother Cumby, this is where, you know, if this was being preached by a modern Pentecostal preacher, he'd veer off to something else because this is not glamorous. He'd go into, you know, preaching, turning cartwheels and swinging from chandeliers and falling over backwards and go, woo, you know, spooky stuff. Paul goes straight to it, and he just gets right down to it, nitty gritty, just meat and potatoes. He said, wherefore put away lying. Yes. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Yes. See, that's not camp meeting, Brother Gray. He said, you want to renew your mind? Just put away lying. You don't need to go on a 21-day fast for more power. What you need to do is put away lying. Hallelujah. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Ain't nobody going to flip over pews over that one, are they? He's telling you how to renew, how to wake up the power that's in you. Neither give place to the devil. But notice that in order for you to give place to the devil, you can't give anybody place unless you move out of the way. So what he is saying is, at some point in time, if you give place to the devil, it's because you stepped out of something that was rightfully yours and you let him have it. You didn't need more power. You just needed to stay where you were. I'm reminded of the time the little sister called me up, and bless her heart, when I was pastoring in Anderson, and she was just desperate. You got to come out to my house. Why? There's demons out here. They've taken over my house trailer. So I went out there, and here she was, this woman of God, Holy Ghost filled. She was just sadly deceived. And she's sitting over in a corner, lights all out and trembling, convinced that her house is filled with devils. I walked in the house. What are you going to do? I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I'm here now. You got to go. Amen. I didn't make her vomit or nothing like that. I just rebuked him in Jesus' name. We don't have to roll in the floor with devils. We don't have to, you know, all we got to do, you know, there was a time when I was a kid, they used to tell us at our church in Mississippi, and adults, we have to watch the things we say too. Because adults would say things like, have you ever been in that church when the lights are out? Ooh, it's spooky. It's like all the demons come in there when the lights are out. And as a kid, I took that seriously. For a long time, I was afraid to go in the church when the lights were out. Then I got a little bit older, and I moved next to the church. I was assistant pastor, and I would go in the church to pray. And the first time, I'll never forget going in the church the very first time and thinking to myself, all those spooky stories. Oh, this place must be covered in demons when I walk in here. And the Lord slapped me upside the head. Like he said, you fool. You are a child of God, Holy Ghost filled. This place belongs to you all the time. And from that day forward, every time I went into that church, I flicked on the lights and I said, I don't care if there are any devils here. I'm here now. You got to go. Neither give place to the devil. In other words, you don't need more power. You need to stand your ground. You need to stay where you are. You don't need to move over and give him room. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Boy, that ain't camp meeting. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Don't let any corrupt communication. I'm talking about how you can work with what you've already got. Amen. It don't take rocket science. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I know there's some people that preach that, and they say that's talking about once saved, always saved. And you know that I don't teach that, don't believe that. But let me tell you something, folks. God just spoke something to me. When he said you're sealed unto the day of redemption. You know what happens to something when you seal it? Nothing goes in or out. Am I telling you the truth? What he just spoke to me was this. When I gave you the Holy Ghost, I put everything inside the seal that needed to be there.
And you don't need to open up the seal and keep begging me to put more in, because I already gave you all of the power that you need. And I sealed it up. And you've got it right there. And it'll never run out. It's sealed. Amen. Where was I? He said, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We swinging from the chandeliers yet. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You want to renew the spirit of your mind? And you want to renew the spirit of your mind? You want to be refreshed again? That's the formula. Just do what you already know to do. Use what you've already got. Praise God. Everybody say it with me. I've got the power. It's inside me. Say, I'm sealed.
I'm sealed.
Matter of fact, say, I'm signed.
I'm signed.
Sealed.
Sealed.
And one day I will be delivered.
Amen.
To Him. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Some of you, the devil's already talking to. He's been riding your shoulders for so long. He's had you convinced for so long that you'll never be a great soldier for God, because you don't have enough power. You don't have enough anointing. You don't have enough this. You don't have enough that. But that's because He is afraid that you're going to wake up what's inside of you. Renew it in me, Lord. 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 Renew the Holy Ghost in me. Lord, listen, I know that it's there. I know that it's sealed up. One of the great tragedies of the church is that Satan has managed to convince so many Holy Ghost filled children of God that somehow God plays a perverse game of hide and seek. And that you come to church one week and His Spirit's not with you, and you go to church the next and it's there. And you go home and it's not there, and a few days later it's back. But God wants you to know tonight, I sealed it up.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, there are times when you don't let it work, but it's always there. It's always there.
Lord, you know I need a brand new touch.
Hallelujah, yes.
My strength from yesterday is gone.
Hallelujah.
But if you'll give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone.
Hallelujah. Why don't you pray for somebody if it's appropriate and they're close to you? Why don't you pray for them?
If
you'll
give me, Lord, another touch.
Give me, Lord, another touch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'll have the strength to carry on. Lord,
I want to share something that I've really been holding back for several weeks. You know, I used to preach a lot of revivals and stuff like that, and the devil just is, when you're trying to make a comeback, he gets on you. And one of the things that God always used me in was the gift of the Spirit. And the devil kept telling me, you're not going to be used in the gifts. So I was walking one night there in the apartment, and I was praying. And it might have been a wrong prayer, but I said, Lord, just stir these gifts up. I could see the church. And there was cars, and they were parked all crazy. No semblance of organization, and they were parked all crazy. And as I got closer, I could hear things. I could hear cries. I could hear praises. I could hear some moans and groans, and I came into the door. And as I got ready just to even go by the youth room, there was young people in there, and they were praying. I came into the sanctuary. Pastor Mike was standing right where he's standing. And in my spirit, there was a long line of couples.
Come on.
But in my spirit, I knew they were all preachers. And in these people that were in lines, I could just see like chains and things, and they were anointing them and praying. Then over on the left side of the sanctuary, I could see Pops and Brother Gray, and there was people that I knew in my spirit were sick. And the scripture came to my mind, calling on the elders of the church. Yes. And then on the right side of the church, I could see people that in the what we in our flesh would say they're ugly. But in my spirit, I knew they had been rejected.
Come on.
And the Lord spoke to me that night two things. One, the gifts have never left you.
Amen.
And two, God is about to do something.
Yes.
Amen. God is about to do something.
Yes.
God is about to do something.
Amen.
I believe I'm just going to obey the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Pastor Mike, God's about to send people like myself that had a high, haughty, nothing ever bad will happen to me. I got it all together. Years ago, I would ridicule people and make fun. But see, the devil can set traps for you if you're not careful. If you're not praying, you're not fasting, you're not seeking the Lord, you're doing ministry from the flesh and not from the spirit.
Yes.
But God's about to send people.
Yes, I believe it.
That have been broken, that have been abused, that have made mistakes.
Yes.
And if I've said it once, I'll say it again. No, people that make mistakes don't need to be reminded. But God told me to tell you that God's about to stir up.
Yes. Come on.
I believe God, right, if we pray right now, lift your hand. I bet if we pray right now and believe right, join hands with somebody, I believe there's some backsliders that God will stir up. I believe God can put New Start Church on Kalala Bahanda. God can put them on their heart. God wouldn't give us a vision. God wouldn't give us a dream. God wouldn't give us a message for just for it to lay there. God wouldn't show us youth being filled with the Holy Ghost just for it to just lay there. Call it. We call it into existence tonight. Stir it up, God. Stir it. Stir it. Stir it. God, put people in our path tonight.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They said in the book of Acts, these are they. These are they. That they had turned the city upside down. I know it's old fashioned, but I used to put, when I was evangelizing, we used to come, and people, I know it's old fashioned, but we just need to start believing for miracles, signs, and wonders. We need to start believing that God can heal people, that God can deliver people, that we ought to start expecting when people come in that are sick that they can leave delivered. We need to start believing that it's no telling. People are going to come in and start telling visions and dreams and how the Lord spoke. You know what? It encourages our hearts. It stirs people. I believe that God can give people dreams and visions in this church. He can tell you who to go to, where to go, who to invite. How many believe that tonight? Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Are you believing it tonight? I rebuke the enemy tonight in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the enemy tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lucifer, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We've got the power in Jesus' name. We command it in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's it, sister. Claim it. Receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray for Rose tonight. She needs a healing. Is that right? Needs a healing in the name of Jesus. Hello. Come on, sisters. I need some of you to gather around if you would. Let's pray for her right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you would touch this dear woman tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In obedience to your word, Lord, you have called on us to call on the elders of the church and to pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And so we're believing it for healing right now in the name of Jesus. Touch this hip tonight. Let that healing dunamis flow tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Yes. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.